The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
We started on a high note, Abby. Very high note. It's getting higher and higher. Have you been blessed? Getting blessed so far? Amen. Amen. God blessed us in this ministry with men. I hope you understand. Men. Good people. You know, it's always good to know that you are not there and things are working. Amen. So, can I appreciate our ministers one more time? With everybody, appreciate them. Hallelujah. Acts 3 verse 19. Chinelo, are you doing? You're working today, she? Today not today, have you? Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. DJ will stop yesterday, right? Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, I explained to you yesterday that the King James says, when the times of refreshing shall come, but actually the right rendering, as you see, confirmed from other translations, is that the times of refreshing will come. So the repentance and the conversion is what we bet the times of refreshing. Do you understand? Because when you did it from the King James this way, it will look like the repentance, the conversion, and sins being blotted out is the times of refreshing. No. But then if you check Amplified, NLT, NIV, just any translation, you can just put up any other translation, you find out it says that the times of refreshing may come. But I put up anything. Okay. NIV said repent and then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. What did he say? That the times of refreshing. So the repentance and your sins being blotted out is what we bring about the times of refreshing coming from the presence of God. Do you understand it? And so yesterday we saw what repentance meant, and we saw that we have repented. Amen. And so we saw that the repentance in this context would be referring to believing the gospel. Remember that? It was referring to believing the gospel, believing the right things and the truth about his death and his resurrection. And that we established strongly yesterday. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Now, and then, he says, when you repent and you are converted, he says, your sins will be blotted out. We saw that yesterday. Blotted out. Hallelujah. He said, what will now produce, say, times of refreshing. Now, let's start working with that times of refreshing. That's the reason I'm going to work with today. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to walk with times of refreshing today. Then in the evening, put up King James. In the evening, I think I may have to touch. Okay, maybe this morning, we'll touch it. Times of refreshing shall come. Okay, so that word times, of course, is the Greek word kairos. Kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. And then refreshing is the Greek word anapsuxis. Don't bother. You're not Greek. I'm not. We are not. So I'm going to spell it for you. Kairos is K-A-I-R-O-S. And then refreshing, which is anapsuxis, whichever one, is A-N-A-P-S-U-X-I-S. Times of refreshing. Now, refreshing, and that's anapsuxis. We come to Kairos later, so let's start with anapsuxis. It means to revive. It means to reawaken. It actually means a recovery of breath. To recover your breath. To revive. And so, we want to see, what did Peter mean by times of refreshing? He said that when you get, so we have seen that these times of refreshing is not referring to salvation as it were. Can you see? Because he said it is the salvation which is blotting away of sin that will bring about, are you still here? That bring about these times of refreshing. So what does Peter mean by that? What did he mean by that times of refreshing will come from the presence of God? Okay, one thing you must note is Peter uses this term, times of refreshing, only once. In fact, it appeared only once in the whole Bible, times of refreshing. Appearing like that, it appears only once. Only once. This is times of refreshing, only once. So we have to be careful to know what exactly he's talking about here. Now, Acts 2:38. So one of the things we're going to do is, now stop, before you go to Acts 2:38, look at this verse. Now, what was Peter doing here? Huh? What was he doing? Pounding yam. What was he doing? I was preaching now. You know what he was doing? They are looking at me like. So Peter was preaching, and he was preaching the gospel. And after he had told a lot of stories, he now said, repent ye therefore. Now I'd like you to go to Acts 2:38. Look at this verse closely. After looking at it, then let's go to Acts 2:38. He said, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Does it look like the other verse? Go to Acts, go to the other place, Acts 3:19. Are you there? Now, repent, be converted, your sins shall be blotted out, times of refreshing will come. Go to Acts 2:38. Repent, be baptized with one of you, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive. Do the verses look alike? What made the difference? Times of refreshing. So, in Acts 3, he uses times of refreshing. In Acts 2, he uses, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Are you still here? Well, I will not draw a conclusion yet. If you observe closely, you'll find out that we saw that yesterday, chapter 3 from verse 12 to 18, and chapter 2 from verse 30 to verse 36 is the same thing. Do you observe that yesterday? Did you observe it? When he was telling them, you killed Jesus, and now God has raised him up from the dead. Do you remember? So, you find that it's the same flow of message. Just that when he now got to chapter 2:38, he doesn't now use times of refreshing. He now uses, you shall receive the gift of the Spirit. Amen? So if we are going to be very rash with our conclusion, we can simply conclude that, of course, when he talks about the times of refreshing, he's talking about the receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. But let's not be that fast to conclude. Isaiah 28, verse 11. What did Peter mean by times of refreshing? Isaiah 28 verse 11. Now, for with stammering lips, this verse will help us a lot, and another tongue, will he speak to this people? Now verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Are you here? What does he call the refreshing? Verse 11. What does it refer to as the refreshing? Stammering lips. What does the Bible mean by stammering lips? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. What does the Bible mean by refreshing? So, first of all, we saw it says that refreshing shall come. And we saw Acts 2, Peter preaching a similar message. Gets to that same point, does not use time to refresh. He now says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And now we go to Isaiah 28, and Isaiah says this is the refreshing. And what he refers to as the refreshing or as the rest is, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to these people. Is it very clear? So what does Peter mean by, or what did Isaiah mean by stammering lips? So you see Paul quotes that same statement, stammering lips, here. He said, in the law, with men, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto those people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, said the Lord. Verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. So he's talking about tongues here, right? Now, go to Isaiah 28 again, verse 11. Put up maybe NLT. NLT. Yes. NLT, please. So now God will have to speak to these, his people, through foreign oppressors who speak a foreign. Is that clear? Put up NIV. Put up NIV. Don't get tired though. Before we start shouting, you have to know what you're shouting about. Put up NIV. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues will God speak to those people. Do you understand it? Now go to this verse. That's verse 12. He says these foreign lips and strange tongues. What does he say about it in verse 12? Come on, Nelo. Verse 12. To whom he said, this is the resting place. Let the weary rest. This is the place of repose. That's the refreshing. Do you understand it? What does it refer to as the refreshing? With foreign tongues and strange lips will I speak to these people. Now go to that 1 Corinthians 14 verse 21 with NIV now. Let's see if we can tie, if we can bring the whole thing we're looking at together. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues. What I'm trying to show you, can you see that what Paul is quoting here is Isaiah 28? Is it clear? If it's not clear to you, check your Bible. If you have a Bible that has a center reference, look at it, you will see that it is this Isaiah 28 verse 11 that he was quoting here. Amen? Is it very clear? So he said, I'll speak to them, then go to the next verse. He now said, in verse 22, he said, tongues then are a sign. So when Paul talked about strange lips, foreign tongues, what was he referring to? Huh? We did hear. What was he referring to when he was talking about with men of strange tongues, foreign lips? Will I speak to these people? What was he referring to? Huh? Come on, what? Don't forget us of refreshing. Look at verse 21 and 22. What was Paul talking about when he says, with men of strange lips will I talk to them? What was he talking about? Tongues, right? So do we agree that what Paul meant by foreign lips, strange tongues, was praying in tongues? Is it clear to us? Now, that is the same thing Isaiah quoted in Isaiah 28. And in verse 12, he said, this is the refreshing. Is it connecting at all? Go back to King James. Maybe it will now make more sense. Let's read again. Verse, he said, to whom he said, this is the rest. You may cause the weary to rest. And this, so he calls it rest. He calls it what again? Refreshing, right? And so, when he says with men of foreign tongues, he was referring to tongues. Paul uses to explain tongues. He said, that tongues is the rest, is the refreshing. Are you still here? Now go to Acts 3:19. We're going to compare Acts 3:19 again and Acts 2:38. Acts 3:19, he now says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing. What did Isaiah say is the refreshing? Foreign lips, strange tongues. What did Paul call foreign lips, strange tongues? Praying in other tongues. Amen. Is it clear? Now Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38. Repent and baptize every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift. Is it connecting at all? So 3:19 calls it times of refreshing. Okay. Isaiah calls it the refreshing, but goes further to explain what it is, that he's talking about strange lips and foreign tongues. Paul explains that strange lips and foreign tongues in 1 Corinthians 14 to mean speaking in other tongues. Now, Acts 2 calls it the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is it very clear? So, we find out that what Peter was saying, when he says repent and be converted and your sins shall be blotted out, he said when this happens, then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what he meant by 10 times of refreshing will come. Are we on the same page? If you are still there, say amen. So he said times of refreshing will come. So we find out that what he meant by times of refreshing is the receiving of the gift of the Holy Ghost. So repent ye therefore, be converted, your sins shall be blotted out, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. times of refreshing will come from the presence of God. Hallelujah. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's see. Now, stop there. Stop there. Let's pick up with times. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's been long. Let's pick up with times. And so, do we understand what refreshing is? What is refreshing? To recover your breath. And then, the Bible refers to it as tongues. Or Peter will call it the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen? The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift. So you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing as saying times of refreshing shall come. Now look at what times. That word times is the Greek word kairos. One thing to note is that word kairos means seasons. Seasons. Now why are we studying it? Look at it again. Go, put up 3:19. Look at it closely. Times. What does times mean? Forget English. Forget Greek. Times. What does it mean? Times. A time with an S. What does it mean? That means that what he's talking about here will not happen once. Hello? Now that has brought us to another problem now. Because we receive the Holy Ghost once. Amen. Are we in another problem? We are in another problem now. It's a times of refreshing. Seasons of refreshing. And in case you are confused about who received the Holy Ghost once, I wanted to say I will not take your time this morning. But you know, even if I say it, you will not believe me. But you see, I will not take your time this morning. If you don't believe me, how can you receive of God in this meeting? I am the carrier of God's word and message and power. Hallelujah. So you better believe me that I will not take your time. Anything I say is true. Even if I take your time, I have not taken it. Because I say it. Amen. Okay, now, but you know, the Holy Ghost is received that many times. John 7:37. You may be also confused about it. Let's drive it home. John 7:37. You know, when I call these things, open your Bible. Don't just be waiting for the screen to call. Open your Bible. So that you learn how to open your Bible. Or if you don't have to open, punch your Bible. Some of it is on your phone. So punch it. So punch your Bible with me to John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Does this look like refreshing? Does it? Okay. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let me joke you, let me play with your mind a little. Whose belly? My own. How can this small belly carry rivers of living water? Which belly? Huh? Who? Which one? Afford Jesus. Which belly? Look at this closely. He that believeth on me. Go back to verse 37. This is not my message. I just want to do it. Fight. Continue around. 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Which belly? Eh? Who? The believer's belly. Some people said Jesus' belly. Okay. We are one with him. So, but actually, let me just make it simple. It's not talking about the believer in this verse. It's talking about Jesus. It's not from your belly that rivers will flow. You are not the savior that saved the world. Who are you? Hello? Are you Jesus? Jesus said out of his belly, he's quoting a scripture. That's why he said, I as the scripture has said, he that believeth on me. So he's quoting something. And that place he quoted was referring to him and not the believer. Do you understand the point? Out of his belly. So Jesus is the man that out of his belly shall flow rivers to the world. So we are recipients of the water of life. So Jesus told that woman, if you believe, I will give you the water of life and you will not thirst again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? So you don't have really what again in our stomach. Do you have water before your stomach? But then that does not mean that we are not channels of blessings anyway. Even when we are laying hands on the sick and we are ministering salvation to men, it's still from the belly of Jesus. Is that not true? Abi, is it you? It's you, Sha. You are the channel. Yes. But then what took me to this? Next verse, verse 39. We are trying to get this picky. So when Jesus was talking about water, what was he referring to? This picky of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And so in this verse, what is the qualification for receiving the Spirit? To believe, right? So once you believe, what will you receive? The Spirit. And notice in this verse, he presents it as something that happens how many times? Once. When does it happen? At salvation. How many of you here know that once you believe the gospel, you have received the Holy Ghost? How many of you know that? And some of you say, well, you are born again, you have Jesus, but do you have the Holy Ghost? That's nonsense. Total rubbish. Let me tell you. Once you are born again, you have the Holy Ghost. Actually, I've explained to you guys that the day you got born again, the Holy Ghost entered you. When you say, Jesus, come into my heart, who is the Holy Spirit again? The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God. When the Holy Ghost enters you, God has entered you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not born again. If you are still here, say, I believe. When you get born again, Jesus enters you. The Holy Ghost enters you. In fact, I've explained to you that when we talk about Jesus entering you, we're actually talking about... You know, Jesus has once called himself, referred to himself as the Holy Spirit. I think I mentioned that a reason fact also. Is it John? Look for either John 16 or John 14. Somebody should look for it. Where he said, he is in you and shall be in you. John verse. Look for it quickly. I didn't plan to read all of that. Nello, look for it. Okay, John 14:17. Nello, you know, we've carried our fight to this place. John 14:17. Are you there? Mrs. Chinelo. Now, even the Spirit of truth. Now, I'd like you to look at this verse closely. I'd like you to see who the Holy Ghost is. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. What did he say about the Spirit of truth again? But you, for and so, who is he talking about here? Himself. He says he dwelleth with you. He was talking about himself. And shall be in you. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. Same person. He calls himself the Spirit of truth. Do you understand the point? So when you say Jesus come into my heart, it is the Holy Ghost actually that enters you. I know what I'm saying. It's the Holy Ghost. So what took me to this? When we got saved, we received the Holy Ghost. How many times did that happen? Once. Clear? Now go back to Acts 3:19. You see, we are in a problem and trouble now. Because Acts 3:19 now says that this refreshing, which we have explained as receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, will not happen once. That it is times, seasons, periods of refreshing. So it automatically tells you that this is not something that will happen once. Amen. Help me touch your neighbors. Are you listening? Touch me. Are you listening? So we've established when he talks about refreshing, he's talking about what will happen, what the giving of the Spirit. receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. You are clear? And now he says it is times. And so there is something he's talking about here with the Spirit that will not happen once. Because if he's talking about the giving of the Spirit that happened at salvation, we can all say that it will just be one time of refreshing. He would have said, receive the Holy Ghost and you shall be refreshed. Straight up. You get the point? You shall be refreshed. But he said, believe in Jesus and you will have times, periods and seasons of refreshing. So even before you know what we are talking about, keep it somewhere in your head. This refreshing will not happen once. It will happen over and over again. I don't know. We put up different translation of this verse 19. Did anyone use time? Look at verse 20 of NLT. NLT had to push it to verse 20. He said, then times of, this one says refreshment, item 7, shall come from the presence of God. What about another translation of verse 19. Repent then and turn to God, that your sins will be wiped away. That's times of refreshing. Put up amplified. Word amplified said, times of recovery, of reviving from the effect of heat, of reviving with fresh air. Times. It's not once. It will not happen once. It will happen more than once. It's not like now that you are saved, I'm refreshed. No. Hallelujah. It's something that will happen more than once. So, what is it? Ephesians 5:18. Now, you find out that when he's talking about this time, there is something about that has to do with the Spirit that will not happen once. That will happen a couple of times. So Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but what? Who was he talking to? The Ephesian church, right? We are they already born again? Were they born again by then? Did they already have the Spirit? But what did Paul say? Be filled. So he tells you that what he means by be filled with the Holy Ghost is not something that will happen once too. Because if it is something that will happen once, that has happened to them, he would have said, you are now filled with the Spirit. I get the point? Are you still here? He says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. But then that brings us another trouble too. Because the Bible tells us, you see, that we are complete in Christ. Amen? And we have the fullness of the Holy Ghost. How many of you believe you have the fullness of the Holy Ghost? Let me ask your neighbor, say, how many cups of the Spirit do you have? Ask the person. Okay, how many kg do you have? 12 grams of the Spirit. No. We have the fullness of the Spirit. Do you believe that? We have, the Bible tells us in Colossians 2 verse 10, verse 9, he said, the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Christ bodily. Ooh, bodily. And then in verse 10, he says, and you are complete in him. And so everything that is in Christ is complete in us. And this verse now says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we are already full of the Spirit and complete, what other fooling are we fooling? Amen. What other getting fit? Are you getting my clothes this morning? Are you getting it? Morning sessions are plenary sessions, so we'll have to teach. In the night, we'll have to make a lot of noise, but then morning sessions are plenary sessions, so you have to calm down and listen. So sir, finish this thing, let the thing start happening. It's happening already. Hallelujah. Were you blessed last night? See, tonight you're going to have a miracle service. All sometimes. You get out, we will be speaking over different affairs. You see, that shift we've been talking about is this night. So while we are waiting for the night, look at your Bible. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He said, but be filled. So we're already full of the Spirit. Okay, but we should be filled. That word filled there in the Greek is the Greek word plero. P-L-E-R-O-O. Be filled. It's not like there is an empty gallon and you are pouring water into it.
No.
It actually means to express. It means to express. Plero means to make full, to express. It means something is full already, but then you begin to give expression to what is already full. He said, so be filled. That's what you find in the book of Acts, that plenty times they were filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 2 verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Different times they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were already full of God, you see, but then there is an expression of that. When we begin to express, for instance, we full of the Holy Ghost, right? You're full of the Holy Ghost, right? One of the things of the Holy Ghost is tongues. When I begin to pray in tongues, I am getting filled. I'm already full. I'm giving expression to what is inside. Is that, you get the point? That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so we've seen, so he said, be filled. You see, Acts 2, 4, he said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. But notice something. Okay, before that, so go back to Acts 3:19. Let's look at it again. And so we find out that when he's talking about receiving the Holy Ghost, he's not talking about what happens at salvation. He's talking about the believer continually being filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you get the point? That's what he refers to. Please, I don't know. I know there is a mixed crowd here. Some people are shouting, yes, sir. And then they're confusing me. Like, I know some of you don't understand. What I'm saying is, you have the Holy Ghost in you. Not two cups, not three cups. The fullness, 100% of the Spirit. But then, there is something which we'll see at night that you can begin to do, and you begin to give expression to what is on your inside. That is what we mean by being filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? Being filled with the Holy Ghost does not mean that pouring Holy Spirit inside you. No. Holy Spirit is not liquid. I hope you know. What is Holy Spirit again? Say solid. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not liquid. You don't pour the Holy Ghost into people. He say, be filled with the Holy Ghost. It means, Holy Spirit, move me now. They start pouring, start pouring, start pouring. He say, how many have you received? They say, pour more. No, that's what I'm doing. When you came into Christ, you came into the fullness of the Spirit. You get the point? Everything that happens that we call being filled with the Holy Ghost, you see, it's just to express. That is why, well, let me tap into this night. That's why you find out that every time they mention in Ephesians 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourselves. You find that everywhere they talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost, they put the responsibility on you, the believer. It's not God's own. When you got saved, God had filled you with the Spirit, but then there is something you have to do to keep yourself filled with the Spirit. Do you know how I say it now? Look at Ephesians 5. Okay, be not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit. How do you get filled with the Spirit? Next verse. Speaking to yourselves. So it is you that will do something that will keep you filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? And that's what we mean by times of refreshing. We'll go back to Acts 3:19. Let's look at it again. While I prepare to close. You have to believe me this morning. I've changed. Repent ye therefore and be converted. What did we conclude this statement as yesterday? Believe the gospel, right? So let's read this verse in the light of what we've learned so far. Believe the gospel that your sins may be what? Then you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you understand it? So he's saying, when you believe the gospel, your sins will be washed away, and then you come into a season, seasons, times and times of refreshing. You see, we were refreshed last night. Times and times of getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Not just that initial I've received. Times and times of speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Times and times of praying in the Holy Ghost. Times and times of getting yourself refreshed. I tell you, friends, we have come to times of refreshing. We have come. Times and times. Receive the Holy Spirit. Say, believe the gospel. Your sins are blotted away. And you shall then the times.
that season. Not once. Oh, if I will show you at night, you are the one that will cause the season to come. It's not one season. Seasons of refreshing. Like in this meeting now, we've come to times of refreshing. But on Sunday, I'm going to teach on what I call stay refreshed. Because you make the season. You get what I'm saying? He said, times I rose, seasons of refreshing. Periods and what other time? Seasons, times, periods, which other one? Occasions, which other one? Hi. Is it? Hi. Thank God your parents are not here. Could have seen what you did with your school fees. Times of refreshing. Seasons of refreshing. So it tells you, when you get born again and your sister blotted away, you've come into something. But then you see, there are now times that will start playing out. Of refreshing. Of getting yourself filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, times of refreshing has come. Now, but then, let's look at this verse again. Let's not rush. Believe the gospel, your sin shall be blotted out, you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. From where? Don't look at me, look at the Bible. So where will the times of refreshing come from? Where is the presence of God again? Are you ready to study the Bible? It says our presence now, presence of God. That is something that makes me. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister, where is the presence of God? Sir, here. We are in your presence. Let it rain. He said we are in his presence. So how can I be able to say we are two or more are gathered in his name? He said, there I am. Is there some things people used to ask in this? Trying to, let me tell you something. So where is the presence of God? We're going to find out where that presence of God is. Because we have to know the source of the times of refreshing. Hey, Galaraba Shaba. Hey, Yakade Yuga. Hey, I love Bible. Bible is sweet. Woo! Times of refreshing shall come. So let's find out. Let's slow down a little. Where is God's presence? All this cajoling I'm doing is just to show you that the presence of God is not in a building. That's all I'm trying to say. The presence of God is not in any building. But then God's presence is in this building. And I'll tell you why. So just calm down. Amen. Ooh. So where is the presence of God? Where is the presence of God? Hebrews 9:24. We saw this yesterday. And I've touched this before. And I'd like you to please open your physical and spiritual ear. Because I'm going to talk about the resurrection of Christ shortly. And I will show you where the presence is. He said, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. So where Jesus went to when he rose from the dead is the presence of God. Is that true? Is that true? Come on, do you understand it? He rose and went to the presence of God. Now verse 25. Not yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Next verse. Verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, in the end of the world, he had appeared to put away sin. So, when Jesus rose from the dead, we went to somewhere. He sat down there. We call that place the right hand of the Father. Abby? We call that place the mercy seat. But then Hebrew 9 calls it the presence of God. So where is that place? John 14 verse 2. Where did Jesus go to when he rose from the dead? Where did Jesus go to? When Jesus rose from the dead, where did he visit? Where did he go to? John 14 verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you like that song? In my Father's house. You don't know that song? Was your father a pagan? You should know the song. Once you grew up in church, you should know the song. Do you know it? Maybe your father was a pagan. Okay. My father's house. And my point is, whenever people read this, what comes to their mind is, in heaven, there are many mansions. So when I get to heaven, I'll not let you enter my mansion. Now that you're doing guy for me. Even though we might be poor on earth, in heaven, there are many mansions. So I can live in hot here on earth. But when I get there, marama. See, and that's the only thing in the minds of men. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And then, you know, I always joke with this verse. It should be clear to you that he said, in my Father's house. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Mansions is plural. House is singular. How can there be many mansions inside one house? Hello, hello. Does that not tell you? Hello. Does that not tell you that something is happening here? He didn't say, in my Father's houses, there are many mansions. Even if he has said that, there cannot be mansions inside a house. You see here, in my Father's house, one building. So do you know when God builds a house? Do you know how big it's going to be? Big house. That when God builds a mansion, do you know how big it will be? He cannot enter house. But he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. We're trying to find out where did Jesus go to when he rose from the dead. Of course, when he talks about mansion, you see that mansion means a dwelling place. It means dwelling places. But that's not my assignment today. You see, he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He now said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go. When was he saying this? Huh? Come on, when? Before he died, right? Hello? I go. Okay, verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may also. The aim is, where I am, you will be. Hello? So we have established some things. One of them is that when he comes and takes us, all of us will be in the same place. Now verse 4. And whither I go, ye know. And the way you know. He said, you know where I'm going. Verse 5. You see, I love Thomas. If a lot of believers will be like Thomas in our generation, we will not be where we are today. Because many of us assume too much. If I ask you where was he going, you say, heaven, nah. No, Thomas did not assume. Thomas said, we don't know where you are going. Just like I'm teaching here now. Say, do you understand? Yes. Thomas said, no, see. Because this already had imposed it on them. He said, where I'm going, you know. He said, excuse me, sir. I don't know. Don't push it on me, sir. I don't know. I have to speak for yourself. I don't know where I'm going. He said, I don't know. He said, not just that I don't know. I don't even know the way. How can I know the way to where I don't even know? Now, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to who? So where is he the way to? So where was he going to? Do you get it? When he said, I will go and prepare a place for you, where was he referring to? Eh? When he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
He was, and he said, look at the flow. I'm prepared for you. Paul said, where is that place you are going to? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. In other words, when he was saying, I'm going to prepare for you, he was not referring to heaven as it were. He was referring to a place in the Father. Do you understand it? That's why what he refers to as many mansions. Verse 10. Because of our time, verse 10. Now, so are we on the same page? He's going to the Father, right? He's going to where? Where was Jesus going to when he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you? The Father. Is that true? Now look at verse 10. Now, let's know, where is the Father? Look at this verse. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? You know, Jesus was confusing these people. You see, I need two people to come. Just two people just come. Victor, come. They may be one. Good. Hallelujah. So choose one person. Somebody choose Jesus. Another person choose the Father. And so this is the Father. And this is Jesus. And so Jesus said to these people, he said, I am going to somewhere. They said, where are you going to? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Thomas said, where is that place? He said, I am the way. The way to where? The Father. So he now tells them that Father, that I am the way to. This Father that you follow me to, I am in him and he's in me. Are you getting the flow? Stand. The words I speak to you, okay, verse 11. Believe me, he's still saying it. That I am in the Father and the Father is in me. So Victor is in Emmanuel, and Emmanuel is in Victor, and Victor is the way to Emmanuel. Do you understand? How can you understand? Woo! Okay, verse 12. Stand. Verse 12. Let me see if we can rush this. Okay, leave 12 for sake of our time. Go to verse 20. Because it will get interesting now. One more person should come. Stand here. Because Jesus has brought another person into this story now. First of all, he said, Victor is the way to Emmanuel. Emmanuel is in Victor. And Victor is in Emmanuel. Okay, verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I use the eye there. Victor, right? That Victor is in, that I am in my Father. Victor is in Emmanuel. What's your name? And Joshua has added now, because he now says you. Joshua is now in Victor. And Victor is now in Joshua. But then Victor is in Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is in Victor. And Victor is the way to Emmanuel. What do you understand? That when he said, I am going to prepare a place for you, he meant I'm going to the Father, and he meant I'm coming into you. Because when he died and rose again, where he came to sit, was in me. He says, sir, what are you now saying? He sat in the Father. He is, remember, him and the Father are one. And they now came to sit in me. He said, as I was pulling, so when the Bible says he sat at the right hand of God, the right hand refers to the place of authority, when the place of someone's rule. So where is the place of Christ's reign? In the believer. Is it clear? So when he said, I am going to prepare a place for you, it means I'm going to make it possible for you to come into the Father. So when he says, I'll prepare a place for you, he's saying, I'll make verse 20 possible. That one day, The Father, the Son, and the believer, we come into union. We come into oneness. So he has prepared a place. We have entered that place. He is sitting in that place. We are sitting in that place. What was the purpose of his going to the Father again? Go to verse 3. Let's see if that purpose has been fulfilled. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may. Where is he? In the Father. Do you understand it now? That where I am, you will be. So the purpose is that wherever Victor is, Joshua should be. And now Victor is in the Father. So Joshua is in the Father. But you see, verse 20 now says that the Father too is inside Joshua. So you see, there is a union of the Father, Son, and believer. He's in us. We are in him. We are in ourselves. Ayabalate Yagosh. We are in ourselves. I love the Bible. Look at verse 20. At that day, which day? Verse 19. Which day is that? Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall also live. At that day, the day he shall live, referring to the day of his resurrection, when he shall be raised from the dead, which has happened now, you will now know that you are no longer alone, that I am in my Father, the Father is now in me, and I am in you. So when he rose from the dead, he brought us to where he was. And so what took us to this? Hebrews 9:24 refers to that place where he is sitting now as the presence of God. So where is the presence of God? Inside the believer. That's what took us to this. And so in you is God's presence. And so the presence of God is not in a handkerchief. It's not in olive oil. It's not in a can of water. It's not inside coconuts. Are you listening to me? It's not even in a building. I say, sir, you don't like building. I love building. 2020 is our year of leaps. We will do dangerous things. And so we are setting up for our own building too. But you see, when we are done, Solomon built a house for him. How be it? The Lord God does not dwell in temples made with hands. God is not in any building. Tell them I said. God is not anywhere. God has a permanent residence. When Solomon wanted to give him a house, Solomon said, how can I build a house for myself and I have not built a house for God? And he started building a house for God. When they finished building, awesome things happened. The priest could not even stand. They fell under anointing. But you see, when they now arrested Stephen, you see, Stephen was not a wise minister, but I won't go into that. He facilitated his mother. But let's leave that. But Stephen said some dangerous truths to them. He said, you see this building? When Solomon finished building, the Almighty does not dwell in temples made with hands. They said, just kill him. 46 years it took them to build that temple. And he said, the Almighty. And you see, he didn't even elaborate anything. He just said it. They killed him. Paul now got to 1 Corinthians 3:16. He said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so God never lived there, but God lives in you. Do you understand it? And so where is God? In the believer. So is God inside this building? Yes. We don't come to God's presence. We bring God's presence to the meeting. Do you get the point? That's why we can meet in a beer parlor and start doing alabalada, yada, lada, lada. Automatically, God's presence has come because we are carriers of God's presence. Modern day Ark of the Covenant. You don't get the point. Carrying the fullness of God. And so, we are the presence of God. He says, sir, that's confusing. Okay, take it this way. The presence of God lives in you. Is that one understandable for you? God's presence lives in me. Is that true? No. Now, Acts 3:19. Let's reread that place now. Believe the gospel, therefore, and your sins shall be blotted out. Then you shall be filled again and again with the Holy Ghost from you. So the refreshing comes from within me. I refresh myself. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So who has the job of refreshing himself? The believer. We'll talk about that at night. So the presence is in me. And so you find out that the source of spiritual things is the believer. That's why we don't come to church thinking, come, Holy Ghost, come. We don't do that. We bring the Holy Ghost to the meeting. Oh, we don't come to church, saying this we have gathered. God, we call on God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to come and take charge of this meeting. We don't do that. We bring God to the meeting. We don't come to church singing, "Where were we before we came?" Huh? Where were we before we came? Can you imagine? We've always been living in this place. You see, this is a good time to say we die here. You see, in him we live. In him we dwell, we move. In him we dwell and have our being. We are one with Christ. He is one with us. We are one spirit. Inseparable. So I am the source of my refreshing. You see, in this meeting, you will refresh yourself. I'll be teaching you how you can get yourself and keep yourself refreshed. Times of refreshing has come. But you know, because I'm the source of that refreshing, I make the time too. Is that not true? It's coming from me. If it was from one being above, I would say, "Father, refresh us tonight." No, he says it's from you. Do you understand the point? Okay, let me just close by saying this. That tells you that whenever you want, you can get refreshed. Because you are the source of the refreshing. You understand it? Times of refreshing shall come. And so, the presence of God is in me. Times of refreshing will come from my inside. So Peter was saying that when you believe the gospel, your sins shall be blotted out. And then something will jump from you. That ability to refresh yourself at all times. And I will touch that in the evening. God bless you. Can go back. You will see how we can always keep ourselves refreshed. And after that, refreshing refers to the things of the Spirit. That's why everywhere the Bible talks about being filled with the Holy Ghost, he puts the assignment on you. Be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourselves. When I walk up to you and say, "Eat," what does it mean? It means it is in your will to eat. You are the eater. So when I say be filled with the Holy Ghost, what does it mean? You are the filler. You are the one. Do you get the point? He didn't say ask the Lord to fill you with the Spirit. He said be filled. So you are the one that gets yourself filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I am the presence of God. I am. Every day I get myself filled. So we have come to the refreshing. We have come to the refreshing. We are in God's presence. We've come to the refreshing. Who brought the refreshing here? We did. How many of you know that Jesus lives in me? He lives in us. And so, The only thing that makes you come into his presence every day you come to church is ignorance. You get the point? The only thing that brings you into God's presence only when you come to church. He said, brethren, before we start this meeting, let's call on God to come and be with us. Let's invite his presence. Ignorance is making you bring into the building what you are carrying. It's making you cry to come what you are carrying. But now we know better. That Jesus lives in us. That times of refreshing comes. But it's not from outside. It comes from you. From the presence. How many of you know that Jesus lives in you? There is so much at work in me. Beyond my blood. Beyond genotype. Beyond muscles and bones. There is more at work in me. This guy carries the presence of God. Maybe I'll just close. The fifth closing. But saying to you, that's why when I'm done, you will see, you can bring God's presence into your workplace. You are the carrier. You can bring that presence into your farm. You are the carrier. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can bring it into your bedroom. That's why you see, in our bedroom, we can turn our bedroom to a Holy Ghost meeting. Ayagalatabashata. They say these people, they used to play with Holy Spirit. Even when they are eating, they are speaking in tongues. Even when they are sleeping, that we can bring, we are the carriers. And when I mean bring it in, you should know what it means. We can give it expression. Because whether we bring it in or not, once we come in, it has come in. Hallelujah. Jesus lives in me. He lives in me. The Holy Ghost lives in me. Should I do this again? Go to Acts 3:19. Are you there? Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, where the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of God. Okay, verse 20. And he shall send Jesus, which was preached. So that times of refreshing refers to the giving of the Spirit. And Peter explains it as God sending Jesus. So when Jesus enters, the Holy Ghost has entered. So you are now the source of that refreshing. So anytime you want to get refreshed, you do. Last night we got refreshed. You see what will happen. You see, you find out that the things of the Spirit flows from me. The refreshing flows from me. Is it clear? The refreshing flows from me. And so every day we come, you must live with this consciousness that something is at work in me. Can you help me tell your neighbor, say, God, his presence is not in an olive oil. Help me ask the person, did you come with your oil? God is not in that oil. Did you come with your holy water? God is not in that holy water. Are you here with your mantle? God is not in that mantle. But sir, I have seen it work miracles. I have. The reason is because a carrier of God said that it will work miracles. There is nothing in the handkerchief. If I decide now, if you touch this handkerchief, you will go down under the anointing. There is nothing in this. I said, I am the one that brings God into anything. And there is a time we're going to get to, I can tell you, if you sit on my seat, you receive your healing. And if you dare sit on my seat, you receive your healing. He says, ah, that seats are anointed. There are seats and there are seats. No. No. It's just because somebody, the presence of God, brought God on the seat by what he said. That would be a night. He talked. Hallelujah. I am the presence of God. The refreshing comes from me. So before we get there, You find out, go to Ephesians 5:18. Let me just say this. I will explain this at night. He said, be filled with the... But notice, he likened... being filled with the Holy Ghost with something. With what? With wine. Do you understand it? He said, instead of being drunk with wine, why he did it? Because both of them will act the same way, that they do the same job. One makes you do the other one makes you do Ike Kate. It's the same thing. You see, he said, you know, but then how will you be filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, speaking. I'll pick up from that at night. But this morning we're going to pray in tongues. Because you're already telling you how the refreshing will come. I am the source of the refreshing. But when I open my mouth and begin to make sounds, I get refreshed. We're going to make sounds this morning. We're going to make sounds. Sounds. This is literally an explanation, but it's just reading about. We're going to make sounds. Have you ever woken up in the morning or in the night or any time and you are so down, you're feeling so down in your head and you begin to make sounds? Has ever happened to you? Even when you don't know what to say, just saying lekorata. That time as you're saying it, you're trying to pray. Sleep is carrying your leg, is saying no. But you're just making sounds. Suddenly, does it happen to you? It's like energy enters everywhere in your system. It's like everywhere just comes alive. But, I mean, does it happen to you at all? It's like, you just find yourself. You that sometimes you just sit down, it's like everything has fallen on you. But suddenly... suddenly, you just begin to make sounds. But because I say suddenly, doesn't mean things will happen suddenly. When you start afresh, it's like nothing. Have you ever been praying in tongues and something is telling you are wasting your time? This thing is not working. But you just go by and sometimes you pray in tongues and you think and forget yourself. You just pray. You just remember yourself again. Like, what is that? You are struggling. But don't worry, just keep making sounds. Suddenly, it's just like energy from nowhere begins to come. The problem is still standing there, but there's a refreshing taking place. Be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourself. The way I say it is, wherever you are down, you see, that's why it's stupid to carry the thing that refreshes and you are still unrefreshed. You must stay refreshed. Because the refresher is you. How can you be working in a restaurant, or how can you own a restaurant and you are hungry? Do you understand what I'm saying? How can you own a restaurant and you are saying Nago Ebo Meba, and people are eating in the restaurant? Some of you lay hands on people, they receive their healing. Some of you preach the gospel to people and they get healed, and then you are down. How can you be dispensing water and you are thirsty? How can you be? You are the source of the refreshing. You are the Abikalada. He said, times of refreshing come from the presence of God. God lives in you. So anytime I want, I bring the times of refreshing in. Do we do it this morning? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just be seated. Don't stand. Just pray in tongues. Listen, I'll talk about this more at night. Many of you are heavy in your hearts. Plenty of things have happened throughout the year, and then you are down. Come on. We're going to get refreshed. Take 3 minutes. Let's fill this place with tongues. If you are here, and you don't pray in tongues, other people keep praying in tongues, just raise your hand where you're standing. If you don't pray in tongues, there's nothing to be shy about. We're going to lay hands on you, and then you will be praying in tongues. If you're here, you don't pray in tongues, just wave your hands. If there is nobody like that, then let us lift our voice and fill this place. Just be praying. Go back to Isaiah 28:11. Someone? Okay. Yeah, come. He said, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. Verse 12. He said, this is the rest. This is the refreshing. This is the refreshing. With strange tongues, this is the refreshing.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.